I had the opportunity to be up here again, so I thought I would, I didn't get through everything that I had in my notes. I always have too many notes. So, I thought we would look a little more at that tonight. Ephesians chapter 6 is where our text was last time. We'll go there again. We'll also look into Genesis as well in a little bit. Tim Prey, you just prayed for my brothers. I want you to remember Gary particularly. Brian, remember faithful and going out to the chapel at Cross Point. You know, it's a big giant church out there. And kids are doing well, and I believe they've all made professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which we're thankful for. Gary, as many of you know, had some health issues, and he was out of work for a long time. He's back to work, which we're thankful for, but, you know, sometimes when things start going well, you start to, you know, forget. You know, I noticed when he would talk sometimes, when he was unemployed, he would start to make comments about things when we were kids, you know, and then being raised under the sound of the gospel, you know, and I had a burden for him, you know, not just because he's my brother, but I led him to the Lord when we were kids, you know, and I know he's saved, but he's out there, you know, he's out there in the world, and when things start to go a little better, it's easy to forget, you know, that our place is with the Lord, you know, and so I'd appreciate prayer for him. And before I get started, one other thing is Dad is doing actually well. He's just, mom and dad are both of the doctors, both doing well. Mom's here, but Dad is, he got a good report, which is we're thankful for. I mean, he still has difficulty, he can't get around very well, but he is feeling pretty good, so we're thankful for that. So, Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to look a little more at servanthood. I will read the verses I had last time, which start at verse 5. Chapter 6 of Ephesians, starting with verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Now, we kind of got through pretty much through verse 5. There's 4 points. I want to recap a little bit of this to kind of tie everything together. The first point in verse 5 is servants be obedient. Of course, it says to them that are your masters. Now, as a believer, we have a duty to be obedient not just to our masters, bosses, employers, those in authority over us, whether it's in government or anything else, but we also, of course, most of all, have to be obedient to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's one of the things we talked about. We looked at that actual word obedient, what it means, and, you know, the fact that it's a continuing action, something we don't stop doing. You know, it's not a one-time thing. It's something that we have to keep doing. It's being obedient. You know, the next point is respect. It says with fear and trembling. And those words, fear and trembling, it means terror, but I think a way to look at it is doing something because you're afraid you're going to fail. You know, you want to do it the best you can so you don't fail at it. That's an important thing for a servant, because a servant that doesn't take care of what he does isn't a very good servant. You know, if I'm, say I'm a servant for some rich guy and I'm supposed to be the butler, you know, and I don't do my job very well, you know, if he might want something for dinner, I bring him something else. He might want to go somewhere and I take him somewhere else. That's not being a good servant. It's not having respect for the wishes of our master. So that's important too. And it's, you know, it's dutiful respect. You know, it's not respect because, you know, oh, I have to, or I'm going to get fired type respect. It's, I mean, that's you come into it, but it's our duty as servants to be respectful to our masters. And the third point is the phrase in singleness or sincerity of your heart. And I think that's kind of like being conscientious. You know, it's doing what we're supposed to do. When we're at work, we're doing our work, and we're not goofing off. We're not doing the things we shouldn't be doing. The fourth point, and I think the most important for us as believers, is the last phrase, unto Christ. That's the real point for us. The fact that we can, you know, in this country we have what we call a separation of church and state, you know. The believer doesn't have that. I don't believe we do. We need to carry out the wishes of our Lord and Savior no matter what venue we are, whether it's out in the world, whether it's here, whether it's alone with Him, whether it's at work. We don't have the luxury of living one way in the world and living another way before our Lord, because you know what? We're always before Him, whether we're in the world or whether we're here. And there are those who try to do that. I tried to do that. Those of us here who have tried to do that, to live two different ways. And you know what? You're not happy. It's not a good thing. It's very difficult, because you know, as soon as you start to live in the world and try to do those things that, as Paul writes, that are not convenient, we lose our touch with other believers. We lose our touch with our Lord. You know, we get away from reading the Bible, we get away from prayer, and we get away from the things that matter. Everything that we do must be for Him. So, that's kind of where we went last week. There was a few other points, but we go on to verse 6. It says, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." I think of this as diligence and dependability. A servant's not a very good servant if he's not diligent in his work and he's not dependable in his work. You know, what's our motivation as a believer? You know, I mean, we do things because it pleases our parents as kids. You know, we come here because that's what mom and dad want, and I got to act a certain way. I'm supposed to do this because that's what they want, or do we do it because that's what our Lord expects of us? That goes for adults too, you know. I mean, it's easy to come here and just go through the motions, but it's important that we're diligent. Do we read our Bibles every day? Do we spend time in prayer? Do we remember each other? It's very important that we do that. Think about two individuals that in the scriptures that weren't very, I don't think, diligent or dependable. I mean, it's because they were more concerned with eye service as men pleasers, or self pleasers for that matter. In Acts chapter 5, we have the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Well, the early church, they said they sold all their possessions, they brought them all together, and they all lived like in a communal situation. You know, everybody was distributed to as their needs were. Ananias and Sapphira's property, it was theirs. It was theirs, but what they said, they gave everything. They said they gave everything they had, and they lied. You know, they wanted to look good in front of everybody, but they wanted to keep a little something back for themselves too, you know. And they paid for it dearly with their lives. Another person I think of in the scriptures is way back in the Old Testament, and that would be, what his name is, the troubler of Israel, good old Achan. Now Achan, you know, I mean, Israel just had a great victory at Jericho, marched around Jericho 7 times, shout, blow the trumpets, walls come down, everybody, great spoil. We go to Ai, and all of a sudden they're getting chased around by the men of Ai and defeated. And it's because Achan decided he was going to please himself. saw a couple of trinkets there, took them for himself, and caused the death of several thousand Israeli soldiers. Well, diligence and dependability. Doing the end of verse 6 says about doing the will of God from the heart. Doing the will of God from what? From right here. He's watching everything we do, isn't he? It's our Heavenly Father. He looks down on us. He sees everything that we do. You know, and you think, let me segue just for a minute. I think about that. I don't think that we really think about that. As servants, I don't think we give credence to the fact that God sees everything that we do. You know, it's so easy for us to just do what we want. And I've been really convicted lately. But, you know, sometimes it's real simple to commit a sin, and we know that it's wrong. And yet, it might be just, you know, something we do. It might not even be all that bad by the world standards. But, you know, Christ died for us. He paid for those sins. He already paid for them. So if I go and commit those sins, aren't I really not treading underfoot the thing that the Son of God? I think I am. I think we are. What kind of servant is that? What kind of servant is the man or the woman that takes the gift of salvation, the blood of Christ, and counts it as of little effect because I choose to do something wrong? I'm talking about sin that's, you know, that we know we shouldn't do and we do it anyways. Very dangerous. And it's not proper. It's counterproductive to our testimony and our development as believers. Just something to really think about there. One thing that I, kind of getting back to being diligent and dependable, is how do we deal with the things that we're giving, or that we're given, excuse me. You know, we mentioned stewardship. I think Tim mentioned this prayer. You know, are we good stewards? You know, one verse I really like, I'm going to look it up because if I try to quote it, I'll misquote the thing. It's in 2 Kings. It's just a good example of being a good steward. Josiah was the king. He was repairing the temple. Verse 7 of chapter 22 of 2 Kings says, howbeit there was no reckoning made with them of the money. That means the men that handled the money and the workmen that did the work. Howbeit there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand because they dealt faithfully. What a great testimony that is. Something that we need to really strive for. To be honest, honorable, diligent, dependable in all that we do. Whether it's at work, at school, here at the chapel, here in our own homes, and dealing with bills and responsibilities and things. Moving into verse 7. Verse 7 says, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. As to the Lord and not to men. It's really difficult sometimes to maintain a positive attitude about things, whether work or school or here. You know, sometimes there's things that bother us, people that rub us the wrong way, situations that crop up that we don't like. But you know what? We need to be a positive influence on those people around us and the situations around us. We can't be effective servants, you know, if we harbor resentment for somebody else, especially here at the assembly, here with fellow believers. If I have something against somebody, I mean, that's absolutely wrong, and it's counterproductive, and it can eat like a cancer through this through this group of believers. I don't, by the way, but I'm just as an example. But, you know, Matthew 5, 23 and 24 says, you know, if you have anything against your brother, you better take care of it first before you come and offer your offering. Serving with goodwill. That also means that we need to respect those in authority over us, even if our boss is a pain. I happen to have a very good boss, so it doesn't apply to me right now. Anyways, I said we're going to go into the Old Testament. So I'm going to look at, let's turn to Genesis. Put this in here. Genesis chapter 24. Now this is the story of Abraham's servant finding a bride for Isaac. This is a great story for, I think, for servanthood. Now often this is the servant is parallel to the Holy Spirit, which is a good parallel, but I want to look at it from the servant's aspect only. Just a little background. The servant in this story is not named, which is an important point as well, because the name of the servant isn't important. The work that he does is. His name is probably Eliezer, Eliezer. Tim's going to correct me if I said it wrong, so I said it right. Eliezer. Genesis 15, it talks about, this is when God told Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, well, what are you going to give me? Because all I have is Eliezer of Damascus, the Syrian. And he was the steward of his house. So we can probably assume that this is Eliezer, but chapter 24, Genesis, starting at verse 1, I'll read 1 through 9 right now. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son or the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country, unto my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son hither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me, and it sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear of this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning that matter. Now, a little background on the oath that he took, putting his hand under the thigh of Abraham. In biblical terms, the children proceed from the loins. Genesis 46:26 talking about Jacob and his seed came up into the land of Egypt, so it's those that came from his loins. The thigh, that area, is considered the loins, and the children are those that proceed from that. Placing the hand on the master's thigh, in this case under his thigh, signified that in the event the oath was violated, that the children that issued from the loins of the master could avenge that oath. That was kind of interesting. I had never seen that before, but It's called Swearing by Posterity. In this particular story, that's very important because the servant was sent to ensure posterity for Abraham through Isaac by procuring a wife for him. And I think it's also the reason for the servant's question in 5, because he knew what the oath meant. He knew that there could be vengeance if he didn't keep his oath. And he asked Abraham, well, what if she doesn't want to come with me? But Abraham knew that the Lord would bless his path. And he promised him that he would not be held accountable if the woman wouldn't return with him. So you see in verse 9, one of the others, some of the points I pointed out earlier are right here as well, and that's why I want to look at them. Servant in verse 9 is obedient. He's an obedient servant. It says the servant put his hand out of the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning the matter. I don't know about you, but I want to know somebody pretty well if I'm going to do that. I don't mean putting a hand out of the thigh part. I mean making an oath, a promise to do something like that. And I would imagine that these two men knew each other pretty well. And the servant had no qualms about doing what he had to do. There was trust. How about Christ? You trusted him as your Savior, I hope. Do you trust him with your life? Do you trust him in all that you do? You know, it's really easy, I think, it's simple, the idea that understanding that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior and that Christ died for my sins and to trust in Him to save me. Children do that. It's easy. Can be easy. But it's not so easy as an adult to trust Him every single day. Now somebody wants to disagree with that. That's fine. But I find that it's not that easy. If I don't keep short accounts, if I don't spend time in His Word, if I don't talk to Him every day, it's easy to start going my own way. And going my own way means I'm not trusting Him to lead me to where I should go and to show me what I should be doing. Need to be obedient. Second point, the servant is respectful of his master. Again, verse 9, I think, shows that as well. But verse 10, it says, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. What do you tell him in verse 5? The servant said to him, verse 4. But thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Verse 10, he says, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia into the city of Nahor. He didn't stop at Tim Hortons first or pick up a couple of bags at Home Depot for the trip. He went into the land of Abraham's nativity. He's respectful of his master's wishes. He goes where he is sent. Let's read. Actually, let's not read. I'm going to run out of time. I was going to read 10 through 22, but we'll just keep moving along here. Verse 10 also, the servant is conscientious. He's not only respectful, but he's careful to do what Abraham asked him to do. He went to the place of Abraham's kin, to Mesopotamia, into the city of Nahor. Took all that he needed, took the 10 camels, knew what he had to pack, took the supplies he needed. He had the control over the whole house, so he took what he needed, enough money, I'm sure, enough supplies, which is part of being conscientious, being prepared for what we need to do, for our work for our Savior? Are we prepared? Do we prepare ourselves every day? I know I keep saying about spending time in here, but you can't say that enough, how important that is, how the preparation, being in this, in the Word, and preparing ourselves for the battle out there. Coming here on Sundays or on Thursdays alone is not enough to prepare oneself for the trip outside. You need to spend time in this and time on our knees. Young people, very important to understand that. I just had a conversation with my youngest daughter probably for a good hour the other night about that, encouraging her. She goes to the chapel with my brother, and she's very interested in things, but she doesn't spend a lot of time. She always asks me, "Dad, how do you know that?" I know it because I spend time reading the Bible, read it, and you know it. You know, but it's difficult to start with Genesis, and I say, how many times have I told you, you don't have to start at the beginning? You don't have to start at Genesis. Well, read the Gospel of John. You know, so encourage your children to spend time in this. Conscientious, prepared. The servant is prayerful. Verses 12 through 14, he gets there. He asks the Lord. He says, "No, I'm here to find the wife for my master's son." And he kind of says, he asks the Lord to show him. He says, "I'm going to go by the well." You know, the first girl that comes out and draws water and says, "I'll get water for your camels too. Let her be the one." And we know the story. That's what happens. Rebecca, the first one comes out. She goes and gets water. Comes up and gives him to drink. And she says, "Well, I'll get water for your camels too." And I thought this was great. I mean, really never thought about it, but 10 camels. They figure there's probably about 4 barrels of water. A barrel, that's probably 50 gallons. And the barrels out of the work are 50 gallons. That's a lot of water to draw out of a well. I guess Rebecca was diligent too. So the servant is prayerful. And I like the idea that he doesn't pray anything for himself. He asks for help and kindness for his master. Not that his way could be prosperous, but he prays for his master's success. The thing I think is really important too is he prays specifically. It's important for us in our prayer life to pray specifically, whether it's for each other or whether it's for situations that we come across in life. Be specific. The Lord knows everything, of course, but it's good to be specific. Servant's diligent, verse 17, he ran to meet the damsel. He's patient. I'm going through these quick because I'm running out of time. Verses 21 and 22, says, "And the man wondering at her held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden ring of half a shekel weight and 2 bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold." So he stood there watching. He held his peace. And he waited. He waited until the camels were done drinking. I thought that was interesting. I might have said, the one camel's done. She must be going to get it for the rest, so I'll give her this stuff right now. But no, he was very patient. We need to be patient. Things don't always happen when we want them to happen. The Lord doesn't always give us the path we think we should have or that we expect. We need to be patient. We need to wait on Him for what He has for us. I know that's real easy to say, and it's real difficult to do sometimes. Verse 22, he gives her the presents, he's dependable. Now, you know, this guy had control over the whole house. He was thinking he could have just bailed with the candles and all the stuff he took, gone off somewhere else, never came back. Could have. But he didn't. He had respect for his master, and he was dependable. And he was honest. He gave the gifts in verse 53, gave gifts to Rebecca's family as well. He shared everything that he had, that Abraham had, with them. And I like the fact that he has faith, too. Because you notice he gives, after the camels were done drinking, he gives her the gifts. He gave them to her before he asked who she was. But he must have believed that the Lord was, that was the one. Because he had prayed earlier, if this is a girl and she does this stuff, then she must be the one. So he believed the Lord. He had faith. You know, I can't help but imagine that he knew of the events that happened two chapters earlier when Abraham took Isaac and was willing to sacrifice him because the Lord asked him to. And Abraham's great faith, and he came back, and I'm sure they told the story of what happened. And no doubt this man, as the steward of the house, stayed behind while they went on their trip, and he saw, I'm sure, another events too of Abraham's faith. The servant is thankful. Verse 26. The man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." Are we thankful for everything that he's done for us, that the Lord has done for us, that our master has done for us and given us? Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham. Servant is devoted to his master. He cares only about him. As we read already in 27, he has not left my master destitute. Verse 33, Laban wants him to have something to eat. You see his devotion, his diligence again. He says, "I'm not going to eat until I tell you why I'm here. You get to the business first, and we'll make merry afterwards." I think that's important too. Single-mindedness of purpose. Anyways, I'm running out of time. It's 8:30, so we'll close. But just a few thoughts. I mean, we look at, I ended kind of on single-mindedness, you know, in verse 56, when he's ready to go back, he says, "Hinder me not." You know, they want her to stay for 10 more days and so they can say goodbye. And he says, "No, I have to, you know, this is my job, this is what I'm here for. Hinder me not." You know, I think of Isaiah 50, verse 7. Speaking of our Lord, it says, "For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." He came here with single-mindedness of purpose to die for your sins and for mine. He went to the cross, wavered not from to the left or to the right, lived and walked among sinful man without sin himself, became a curse on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. Men's Bible says we've been looking through Hebrews again, going through it a second time. Probably go through it a third or fourth time. I'll end with this. I just like Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Read it because I don't want to misquote it again. Everybody, and this is very familiar, everybody knows this, I'm sure. It says, "Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and stepped down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I don't know if that's typically, you know, usually spoken of in terms of servanthood, but we need to put aside the things that are holding us back. We need to be focused and diligent and single-minded on the things, keeping our eye on him and running with patience the race that is set before us. One thing I want to say in closing here, the importance of, especially only recently have I started taking part in the prayer meeting. And you know, and just as a word of encouragement, I want to tell the young guys too, that it's a real blessing. I want to encourage you. It's part of servanthood. You know, as men, we're supposed to take an active part in this place and set the example for the younger ones, the young boys that are coming up. They're the future of this place that the Lord tarries. I, you know, for the longest time it was really difficult to stand up and pray, you know, but it's a real blessing when you do. I just want to encourage you to start thinking about that kind of stuff. It's important, and it's a responsibility, especially as men in the assembly that we have here. Let's close in a word of prayer.